You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
What is up? What is good? How you living? How you feeling? How you doing? The rag just came off. The waves are popping. Marlon Humphrey is ready to go. I ran into Marlon a few weeks ago in Atlanta, and he's like, when are you going to get me on the show? And we are doing it now. Big paper, wrestling alligators, racing his dog, having a good... How is the off-season treating you?
Man, the off-season... Every off-season, I'm like, all right, this is how the off-season is going to go. Got a pretty good plan for it. And then I get back, and it just goes... The most farthest way south, I always end up doing something completely random. And this offseason has been very adventurous.
What are we doing so far? What are we getting ourselves into?
Oh, man. You follow me on the gram. If you don't, man, I've been doing a lot, man. I just played polo. So that's an interesting story how I got on the polo.
How did this happen?
So I have a friend. I played with him at Bama.
Okay.
And he's from Missouri. I've been to his house a lot, August Bush. So family goes back to Bush beer. So that just tells you what kind of wealth he's got. But so he plays polo, started playing polo after ball. And I went and saw him play for the first time and talking like, hey, man, we're doing this celebrity polo event for charity. And I'm like, oh, man, I'll do it. I'm like, yeah, let me do it. So I get home and I'm sitting there thinking, I got to learn how to ride a horse now. So,
oh, it's real polo.
Yeah, it's real polo. So I signed up to play this polo, and I didn't really know how to ride a horse. So I had 3 weeks. I got home, called some people. I was like, yo, I need some horse lessons. He sent me a little mallet, and the biggest thing is I didn't fall off the horse, which was good.
Shit.
I looked all right. I think I looked the part, so it was good. It was fun.
What was there a moment the night before where you're like, am I about to become the greatest polo player of all time? Where you were like... Because this has happened to me where, like, I remember when I was younger, my friend was like, we're going to go to a skate park tomorrow. And I was like, maybe I didn't realize that I'm going to be the greatest trick skateboarder of all time. And I wasn't. I broke my wrist. It was fucking awful.
Oh, gosh.
But I was wondering, so, like, the night before, you're like, am I going to have to retire from the NFL and become the greatest polo player of all time?
No, I was the exact opposite. I actually was like.
Just don't die.
I was like, why did I sign up for this? I told him, like, man, what was I thinking? Because it was different. Like, when we talked about it, he told me we were going to be walking on the horse. And he was like, we won't run. And then I'm watching everybody else. I'm like, they're running. I didn't train for this. And I actually felt better than what I thought. But after I got done, I was like, yo, I'm about to pick up polo. This is my new thing. So I started thinking the good stuff after the fact. But I think I'm going to stick with my day job, I think.
Probably a good move. What is this alligator photo about?
So that was pretty random, too. My teammate, old teammate, who Zach Sealer just signed a deal with Miami. He used to be with us at the Ravens. And he and his fiance, who I went to school with, had a alligator farm, basically. And I'm like, what the crap is an alligator farm? And next thing you know, I'm on a boat and you throw a reel and then you like hook the gator and then you basically get this crazy arm workout for like 20 minutes of just having the gator pull you.
Jeez.
And then it's a whole deal. It was a whole deal. I told them I didn't want to see a video of how it went. And so just to make it more fun, and it was That was intense too.
Explains like the insane pump that you have in this photo because you were wrestling it for 20 minutes.
Yeah, you wrestle it for 20 minutes and then I let go of that one because I messed up. So I had to do it again. And then my back was hurting. Like it was actually a full body workout. I didn't know it was going to be that intense.
Jeez.
But it ended up being a full body workout. And it was fun, but I will be more prepared if I ever do it again because it was intense.
Man. So you're what, 24 right now?
24.
You're 24. You're on your second contract. Yep. You've had, you know, a couple Pro Bowls, all pro. The success has been consistent. You go Alabama, which is like where you're from, the school you always want to go to a franchise like Baltimore, one of like eight franchises in the NFL that I feel like is actually trying to win a Super Bowl. You know what I mean? Like they're really like well run from the top down. Like, what kind of perspective do you have right now of being so young, but at the same point, having experienced so much? Where are you at with all of that?
Man, I just, you know, the biggest thing, I just, like you said, I went to Alabama. You know, it doesn't, when it comes to great franchises, great colleges, I feel like it doesn't get much better than Alabama. And then I go to the Ravens, which is just very structured well. A guy that's really stuck with a lot of structure all my life. And so having that structure has been great. And then just in the offseason, it's just free game. Just get to do whatever and just kind of live, man. That's the biggest thing, man. I'm one of those guys that when it's time to work, it's time to work. And then when it's time to have fun, you just enjoy it. And that's been the biggest thing I've tried to do. Being up under Nick Saban, people ask me all the time, like, what makes Saban so special? What makes Saban so special? And that's been the biggest thing I've taken away. When he walks in the building, there's no fun. There's no, it's he's trying to win. And that's all. And then as soon as he walks out of the building, he like takes that hat off. He's a whole new guy. I mean, he's a great guy. But when it's time to work, it's time to work. And that's kind of the attitude I try to take about it. You know, it's time to work. When it's time to handle business, you got to handle it. But when you're able to have fun, live it to the fullest, man. You never really know what you're going to do. It's just something new. I love new things. So when he hit me up, like, hey, let's go get a gator. I'm like, whatever that is, I'm down to do it.
And yeah.
So it's just been fun. That's the biggest thing. You know, I'm young right now. I can do a lot of stuff. So I'm trying to do a lot of these things young. When I'm get old, I can just, you know, sit back and just enjoy.
Harbaugh and Saban, a lot of similarities?
I would say very similar. Harbaugh, the biggest thing about Harbaugh, he wants to win so bad. That's what I like about him. I mean, a lot of things go on here, and it all comes from a place of winning. You know, it's never a time when you see some of these decisions that get made with other teams, and you're like, that's interesting and different things. But here, it's everything is geared towards winning, from the way we're practicing to the nutrition to it all. He's just trying to win. So that's in that aspect, they're very similar because, I mean, you're coming from a place of winning. It always works well because everyone should be on that same page. And if you're not, the only person that wouldn't like them would be somebody that doesn't want to do that, which you'd be surprised. But you want to win, you're the coach for me.
The draft, I saw the video where you guys were pretty excited about Rashad Bateman in the first round. I know you got Sammy Watkins in the offseason, but I kept seeing all these stories. Baltimore's trying to get a wide receiver. And then you go and get this guy that has that real X, like when you look at him on the film. You're never going to know until you get out there in training camp, because I feel like that's when you really see. Can you take me back to when you went out there and like, was it nerve-wracking that first? Like, did you want to show everybody? How did everybody know right away that you were the guy? What was that first moment like?
I guess when I got drafted, that's not even that long ago, but it seems
16th
like
pick in the draft.
I guess when I got drafted, it was crazy just to get drafted. First round, it's crazy to get drafted, period. But
yeah,
when you first get on the field, it kind of was, it didn't really faze me too much, but it definitely seemed like it was like a all eyes on you kind of deal. And it didn't really you know, it didn't really bother me too much. But they definitely wanted to see what I could do, but ended up getting hurt in training camp.
Damn.
Soft tissue deal. So it kept me out all three preseason games. Mm. And so that's when I felt like I finally got to play in the fourth one. And I felt like I kind of had something to prove just because everyone's like, you know, it looks bad. You're first round pick.
Yeah.
You're hurt over a hamstring. They're babying you, you know, and everyone's like, oh, this guy. So I felt like we played the Saints, came down, like forced the fumble early in the game. And I felt like, you know, just the biggest thing with me, the guys I play with, I just want to show them, you know, that they can trust in me and that when it's game day, I'll show up. And that's kind of what I try to do. I think I'm not one of those guys that does a lot of talking about what I'm going to do. I just like to go out and do it. And that was the biggest thing. I just wanted to prove to those guys that I could really play and that I could be a guy they could trust on.
I feel like that's a healthier mindset. I think that some people kind of want to come in and be like, I'm going to be better than you, or I'm going to show. But like, to realize that you're on the same team and it's more of like, I want your trust and your belief to be realized. Because that's that real team shit. You know what I mean?
I think like most of these kids now want to prove to somebody on Twitter that they can play ball. And I'm like,
we got guys going, I'm more athletic than Richard Sherman. Like, what are you doing? Like, why would you even say that stuff right away?
Yeah, I don't. It's weird that I've never really thought. I mean, I know I coach track in the offseason as well.
Yeah.
And it's the conversations I have with kids is just different than how I kind of think and see it. It's just kind of different day and age. And it's crazy that it's kind of changed just that quick. I mean, I was in high school, however many years ago, but
yeah.
It's changed quick, man.
It kind of takes me back to that Cam Newton clip that we saw this offseason. And you're like, what's going on? So you really think it's a generational thing?
Yeah. I couldn't believe that. Cam Newton, Heisman, MVP, took him to the Super Bowl. And it's just different, man. The kids are just a little different. But, you know, a generation change and different things, and that's the future of sports and different things. So it's a little different, but
do you have any guess as to why it's going like that?
I really think it stems from – I think it stems a lot from just college coaches. You have to do – to recruit these kids, you have to really – so you want them so bad. You give them so much attention that you want them so bad. I think the best thing that happened for me was when I was in high school, broke my phone. My parents told me they were not getting me another phone.
Yeah.
So I didn't have a phone for a year. I didn't talk to any of these college coaches. They would have to hit me up, but I'd have to message them. I just really enjoyed high school, and there was never a time where they're calling me, filling my head with, hey, you're so good. And I think that just was one of the better things that happened for me. It really helped me be really humble. And my friends I had some really good friends that didn't care that I was a five-star, none of that. They were just like, you're just our friend. Like I had a really good, I think, this is my junior or senior year. And I think, you know, you got to do a lot to recruit these kids and get them. They have to feel like you really want them so bad. And I think that's what messes up a lot of these, you know, college kids.
I know this is a big Alabama thing. We don't care about the people talking shit about us. And we also don't care about the people that are giving us a lot of praise, and it's just staying even keel. But I would imagine it's hard for young people because, like, especially now, we're raised in a generation of likes and shares and retweets and reposts. And like you can come in the draft and you do something and you're on the cover of Shade Room. Like it's like the big thing. And like, you know, like you were in a basketball game recently and you're standing next to Quavo, you know? Yeah. And so it's hard not to get too high. You know, you guys are able, the reason that's great about sports is, if you're getting too low, you go out there and have a big game and we get that juice back, you know? But I think getting too high is sometimes more dangerous than getting too low. How do you keep it even? How do you keep it making the main thing the main thing?
Man, probably the best thing a coach has ever told me was two things, and they're both high school coaches. My high school coach told me, the hardest thing about it all is you got to stay even keel. And he told me you can never get too high, you can never get too low. I mean, me, I get too high, I start, you know, feeling myself. I'm like, I'm about to go buy a car. I'm about to go buy a $500 car right now, $500K car. Now,
yeah.
You get too high, you know, you get so high, and then you get too low and you start thinking negative things. And it's so hard to keep your mind, you know, just clarity. It's just, you're so much clearer when you're just, you know, really just taking everything with, you know, a grain of salt. And for me, it's just sit down. I do a lot of, I'm kind of weird. I'm a little different. I do a lot of just riding in the car with no music, no anything.
Mm.
Just riding in the car. Sweatshirt, just chill. And it, I think that works well for me. Just chilling. And before the movies, Corona hit, I used to go to the movies and just do a movie by myself. I love movies. I love just going there by myself and doing those things alone time, just chilling. I think works well with you. And just having real people around you. If there's never a time when you kind of have a disagreement with one of your friends or anything, or they can chop it up to you, you're not that great of a person. You know what I mean? It's that you'll never have a disagreement with a friend. So I think the biggest thing, you know, I would say just being alone sometimes, having some real people around you, and just always remember, you know, it's good as it's going. You never know the good until you've had some bad. That's just the reality of it.
Has there been any bad that you have experienced that you think has really defined you?
I think a rough time for me that really kind of challenged me. I'd probably say my freshman year of football at Bama. So I redshirted my freshman year, and it's not that it was. I guess it's not that it was anything of like. It was bad that I got redshirted. I just didn't. I never knew that I was redshirting. So I was
kind of like a top recruit, like big time. Yeah.
I was going in every game thinking I was going to play. And I guess it was, we played Texas A&M. You know, Saban, he does not like to take the starters out. So we were winning 42-0. All my freshman guys are like, coaches told me I'm going in. This is, I was like, coach told me, I'm like, coach hasn't told me anything. Like,
wow.
He hasn't told me anything. So I realized that day that I was for sure redshirted. And it just, when I looked back on it, I was like, you know, that year seemed different. But the thing is, oftentimes in life, we think like, you know, someone owes us an explanation why this happened and why this. And that year just kind of taught me that that's really not the case at all. In life, you know, you might go try out for a job and you might not get it. People get cut every year here. They're not, coaches been up there saying, hey, this is why, blah, 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 blah. You kind of just got to just realize, man, I think Tyrann Mathieu posted on his Instagram around that same time. It's been my phone background since then. And it's just, nobody cares, work harder. And it triggered with me. It hit me hard. Why you didn't get the job, why this happened. At the end of the day, you got a lot of reasonings and excuses of why you didn't do something. But all someone knows is you went to go for a job opportunity and you didn't get it. You went to go do this and it didn't happen. You went and did this and it didn't happen. So that's kind of what it taught me, that, you know, it's okay. But using whatever excuse you have doesn't really make it better. Just keep pushing and going to the next.
Excuses are dangerous as fuck.
Yeah, they're dangerous.
Like when you were talking about being alone, like that actually triggered in me. So like my first 2 years, I was in Nebraska as a news reporter. And then after that, I was in Kentucky. But Nebraska, like, bro, I was alone a lot. And like all of my friends are like in New York or in LA and they're talking about these jobs and they're making like 4 or 5X. And like, I learned who my friends were those first 2 years, the ones that still talk to me, the ones that were still checking in on me and all that. But really, like, I had to get really cool with me. I was going to the movies by myself. I was eating dinner at restaurants by myself. And like, at that point, you have to either go, woe is me, or as you just said, nobody cares, work harder. And that you have that self-belief that all these reps will pay off. And then when it comes and all the friends come back, it's not that you dislike them, but there's definitely a part of you where it's like, you know, you weren't with me shooting in the gym.
Yeah.
But yeah. you were with yourself shooting in the gym. Like, you know what that grind is like, and it makes it worth it so much more, dude. Like, it when the contract gets signed, or for me, like, when people are like, what is it like sitting next to Shaq and D-Wade? You're like, I know what it was like sitting next to, like, a random high school football coach in Giltner, Nebraska. Like, because I did that, I can do this. You know what I mean? Like, that grind is it makes it worth it, man.
It does, man. It's just it's special, man. It really is. Makes it all worth the while. But it's some ups and downs for sure. You just gotta you've gotta keep climbing. It's gotta keep climbing.
So I could tell that when I met you that you're definitely in the more than an athlete camp, that like this is what you do and you really care about it and it's a passion for you, but it's also your career. But I know that there's always this dilemma with athletes where it's like, I don't want to be defined just by that. And how has it been dealing with that, and where else do you find your creative juices going towards?
Yeah, that's I'm a huge more than athlete guy. Somebody, I really, gosh, I don't know where I was. It was just recently. Someone was like, are you the football guy? I'm like, looking at her like, no, I'm not.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
Man, it's, I just, I love the game of football. I love the game of football, but I've never really felt like football is like my life. I was a big track guy in high school, and I love working hard. It's great. I love the people around it, but I more love where sports can take you.
Mm.
Take you all over the country. I was running track. When I was younger, I went to Ukraine for a USA meet. And it's just, it's special where sports can take you. And it's like it takes you places and then you're able to do whatever. And for me, I'm such a guy that loves trying new things. There's no telling what I do next, but it's interesting to be around the guys and just talk with guys. Some guys, football is like, that's it. Yeah. They don't really want anything else. It's kind of who they are, and everybody's different. It doesn't matter which way you go. But sometimes when football is who you are, it's all you got. Sometimes when it gets taken away, that mind goes. You know, you see it so much in college. Guys are like, can't get out of me. I was fortunate enough to make it to the NFL.
Marlon, you have seen people's dreams end now at three different stages. The high school football player that had to get told, this is it. The college football player that said the NFL doesn't want you. And you've seen guys in the NFL not make it past training camp. And dude, I share that. Do you know how many people I have been at different TV stations with? And they're like, oh shit, this is it. Like, and then there's part of you that's like, well, I need to keep looking forward because I guess I am one of those people that can keep going. Like, that's a weird thing. And you want to reach out and help them. But at the same point, then you're like, but I still don't want to define myself as this, even though everyone's telling me you're the football guy. You know, that's a weird thing.
It's crazy. I had a good friend and he was in college, and he told me he was nervous about the draft. I was like, nervous about the draft? Like, why would he be nervous about the draft? He didn't really play that much. I think he had 100 or so yards receiving over 4 years. And I was thinking to myself, like, he doesn't think he's going to, like, get drafted or anything. And he really did. And it just – that's when it probably hit me the most, that it's really hard to tell a guy that – his only thought, football, 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 never once, like, what do I want to do after this? And it's hard to see it. It sucks to see it. But you almost can't even tell someone that thinks, like, that they're going to do something, that there's a possibility it might not. There's really no easy way to say it. And it's crazy. It's just crazy. And like you said, I've seen it at all the levels. But the NFL level is one of the worst. Because guys are coming out of college and it just sucks. It really does suck. But it happens. But I was fortunate enough to make it, and I did have, you know, what I wanted to do after. You know, I wanted to get into coaching. I wanted to do some personal training, a lot of different things here and there. I wanted to get on TV.
Yeah.
So there's been a lot of different things I've wanted to do. And I know you can't play this game forever. I mean, it's a great game. It's a great game, but you can't do this thing forever. That's why in the offseason, you really got to step out and try new things and figure out what you like.
Dude, think about it. We're over here as a society marveling at the fact that Tom Brady is 40 and he's still playing. 40 ain't shit. This motherfucker could be alive for 50 more years. He could have more life left than what he's done. And we're calling him old. But like in sports, 30 is old. And so so it's interesting because like you have in your mind, okay, these are the things that I think I want to do when I'm done. But how do you approach it with like curiosity that like you might get inspired? Like I know Larry Fitzgerald, for example, he's talking to a bunch of my friends in San Francisco and he's very curious about like the tech space. And I think the cool thing about athletes that are well-disciplined athletes is that you're open to learn, you listen, and you can kind of take in new inputs and you can adapt and all that stuff. So how do you look at, I want to start preparing for the next stage, but also staying open to like, I bet you went to the gator farm and you were like, maybe there's a chance I'll get into gator farming. Like, let me see what this is about. Like, how do you maintain that curiosity?
Man, for me, like we've already talked, I got a very curious mind. I entertain a lot, but the biggest person that's helped me entertain at all is my dad. I've probably had over like 200 people call my dad. Something comes up. I'm like, yo, that's interesting. That's interesting. I'm like, yeah, just give my dad a call. And I have him. He's been my dad, manager, agent. He's done like financial. He's done really everything for me. And I let him wean it out. And then he gets back with me. So it's worked well. But with that curious mind, you never know. The world is just changing daily. Something new comes out, seems like, all the time. And I'm open up to it all. All I know is, I'll play this game, hopefully play it for a while longer. And then, when I get done, there's just no telling. But I'm always open to new things. And it's just cool, man. I just get really interested in just all the different job titles.
Sure.
It's crazy there's so many job opportunities and you can't always, you think you want to do something and you might not be able to get that job right away, but you can do something in the meantime until the opportunity comes. I mean, it's all about really getting the job at the right time. You don't want to get it at the wrong time and it's the right place for you. But sometimes when you look at it, with a closed mind, it's really hard to get into a good headspace.
When you get a contract like you did, and of course the NFL is a little bit different because it's not guaranteed, but with the way you're playing and your age right now, it's a beautiful position to be in. There's also that pressure that comes in where people are like, how are you going to invest? How are you going to make money? And that's when you start getting a lot of people that you got to weed them out. How has it been to go from someone that's busting their ass to make their way to now you've accomplish something? How do you approach people coming up to you and you not knowing right away if this is somebody that I want to be in business with or if this is somebody that's trying to take advantage of me right now? Because I'm sure that happens.
Yeah, that happens a lot. That's when my dad comes into play a lot. Sure. He worked at the bank. I hit him up and I try to go to whoever's got hundreds of millions. I try to lean on all those people.
Have you added people like that to your circle just as like mentors and stuff?
Yeah. My if I don't know him, my dad knows him. I became really good friends with John Katsmas. He's the founder of Zoe's Kitchen, sold the company a couple years back. And he's been a really good help for me. I actually worked for his company last off season, a little bit this off season, and he's the CEO, boss man. So it was really cool to see a multi-million dollar company and be right there just in those meetings. Like my first day when I was helping out, he had me really give a job interview to somebody. I was in there asking the guy questions and it was like, he really helped me out a lot with just seeing how companies run. That's something that a lot of guys in my position aren't just able to just be around a multi-million dollar business. And someone just gives you free range to sit in on a job interview, ask whatever questions you want. hop in his jet, go to this place, hop in his jet, go interview this guy. And it was really cool to go back and forth with him. And it just, did I see myself? Actually, I was actually working, clocking in. It was, wow. It was crazy that I didn't see myself doing that last off season, but it was great to do it. And it was a great experience, a great opportunity. And, he's in the liquidation business. That's the company. It's called Crazy Cash Boys, but it's such an opportunity for me. And, I was sitting there like, I might need to open one of these stores. So I'm always all over the place. But the more you can learn like that, when it really gets time, you can narrow it down and figure out the pros and the cons and kind of go from there.
Wade and I had this conversation recently where like we're sitting there and he just became part owner of the Jazz. And he's, I was like, how did the owners like make their money? And he was about like surveys, like when a company sends you a survey. And I said, you know what's crazy? Like, my career has always been following my passion. Your career has always been like playing a sport. Like that's a passion. Like people come up to you and you're like, oh, you're so lucky. You've known you wanted to do this your whole life. And it's like, well, one, luck has nothing. Like luck is sure a part of it. But at the same point, like, you know what it took to get here. But you meet these businessmen that found like an arbitrage or they found like a hole in the market and they were able to build like insane wealth over just like fixing something. And it has nothing to do with passion, you know? And I look at it and I'm like, what a beautiful life in terms of like, there is a defined line between what my job is and what my life is. And the hardest thing about what you do is that line gets blurred. Like you said earlier, guys define themselves by their profession. And you meet these people that have built insane wealth just off of like, finding something they can do. It's just a different way of living that I'm not used to. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's crazy how some people get, it's like the, I mean, I know luck isn't the biggest thing, but some people find it literally off just a crazy little thing. And then it's, even though the impressive thing comes how the way they grow it.
That's the
luck came to get it, but I think that's the thing people forget. Very few people are just crazy successful just based off just doing nothing. And you see these people that everyone just wants to just get something so quick, but it's a lot more hard work than what it looks on the surface. A lot of behind the scenes things that a lot of these people, there's a few that just inherit hundreds of millions and different things like that, but that's pretty rare. And it's just, I mean, it's even football guys that kind of just want it to just come so quick. And it's like, bro, you've been doing this for a while. I mean, you can't, it's not just going to be around a lot of those high school kids and they just want that success so quickly. And sometimes you got to humble yourself, take a step back and be like, man, maybe I'm not working as hard as I think I am. That's sometimes the bottom of it. You think you're working really hard. Your mind is, it's a tricky man. You can think you're doing so much, putting the work in, and you're really not. You're just your mind tricking your own self. And that's what it comes down to a lot of times. It seems like just following your heart, but really just taking a step back and looking in the mirror at yourself.
What was your moment in the NFL where like, you know, you're starting to click and all that, but like your first matchup where you lined up against somebody and you were like, oh shit, I'm going up against this person. Who was that for you?
Well, man, I guess I got two. I guess one, the first one was like my first game ever. And I was up against AJ Green. And I'm like, it's AJ. I'm like, it's not like, yeah, it's AJ. It's like, I'm in the NFL too. Like, but when you actually lined up, like first snap, like, crap, it's like AJ Green. It was crazy. And then the second was probably Odell Beckham. And that was just the beginning of the week. My coach is like, "Hi, Marlon, you got Odell." Mm. And then he just moved on to the rest of the team. He was like, "You know, don't worry about the call. Don't worry about anything. You're matching up with him the whole day." And I'm like, crap. Like, I'm like, this, I haven't done this since like high school. And Bama, we didn't do that much because we had –
Yeah, zone and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, we had, and I think we were missing a corner that year. Maybe Jimmy was out for a couple games. And so I was like, I was really more excited. And then the night before the game, Jimmy Cup FaceTimes me. He's like, he was on IR suspended. So he was at the house. He's like with some people. He's like, bro, you ready tomorrow? And I'm like, he's hyping me up. And I'm like, crap, bro, I need some sleep. I need to get ready to go tomorrow. And I was all hyped up for it. And Odell's just such a great player. I was just excited to be able to, you know, have that honor. And the coaches kind of had trust in me to be able to guard him. So it was a cool moment. Those are probably my two, like, oh, crap. Like, I really got to do this moments in the NFL. And it's pretty sweet, man. It doesn't get any better than that when you just realize, like, man, you worked pretty hard to get here. And now you get to go against some of the best.
Are you quiet when you go out there, or do you talk, like, because it's such a one-on-one situation. There's really not anything like that in sports.
Yeah. For me, what surprised me is guys don't really talk as much as you think.
When you grew up, like, seeing, like, Deion and shit, and you're like, oh, yeah, they must talk really all talk. The time.
Yeah. I'm not the biggest talker. I mean, sometimes I'll get going, sometimes I won't, but you know, even if it gets going in the game, I'll be a little chit chat here and there. But a lot of the thing that people don't see is like the post game. You know, even if you're going back and forth with the guy, y'all might get into a fight out there. After the game, it's all love. You know, it's just it's competitive juices flow.
Did you know it was going to be like that?
No, I didn't. I thought guys would talk a lot more. Like, I was kind of ready for if a guy starts talking to me, then we can talk. But I usually never just. So I thought it was going to be like crazy, just out of control. But it's the thing about it, there's after the game, you're like, yo, I respect the game a lot. You might have been literally talking to this guy a whole game, but it's not like any like personal hate or anything like that. You know, a lot of fans think like, oh, they hate each other. But I'm like, nah, he's just a great competitor. I'm a great competitor. And that's two guys competing. That's usually what happens.
So hold on. So you get told, okay, you're guarding this guy. How do you spend that week? Because now you know what's on your plate. How do you spend that week studying them, mentally preparing for them? Do you have a process that you've now gotten down that's like Monday through Saturday?
Yeah, well, for me, I watch a lot of just what they do with the line, what they're going to do.
And are you looking at like how they walk up? How they stand, like how granular does it get to like what you're paying attention to?
So it's a lot. Being they don't play with them anymore. AB, being at the Steelers, every time he's about to get the ball, he undoes his gloves and straps him back. So, when he was at the Steelers, anytime you see him hitting this,
you get like, a little bit more ready.
Yeah, you're getting a little bit more ready. So everybody's different. Very rarely do you have something that just tells you exactly, but sometimes you do. The craziest thing about this year, we played with no fans. When we played the Steelers, I was out on the field, and of course there's no fans, so it's kind of quiet. I'm like on the field, and like I heard Big Ben say something to the wide receivers, and I'm like listening. I'm like, did he just tell him to play? I'm like, did he just tell him the route he's about to run?
Wow.
And he does it again, like, the next play. And I'm just like, is this what I couldn't believe it. Like, I was like, I don't know if they were in hurry up and that's what they had always done it or what. But he was just verbally telling them. And I was like, crap, I think I should be able to cover this route. And, like, that happened a few times in the game. He didn't throw it to me when he told him. But I couldn't believe it that, like, that's what happened. So it's, you just really got to pay attention. I think playing with Marcus Peters has helped me out a lot.
Dude, Marcus Peters is my guy. I love that guy.
He's different. I mean, we're not similar players in aspect.
We're not similar people. There's not a lot of people that are like Marcus Peters in life.
Yeah, you're right. He's a unique guy. He's one of those guys that, he's not really the biggest social media guy. But I love him, man. He's a great teammate, great guy.
What have you learned from him? Because I feel like that's where you're like, what has he taught you?
Man, the biggest thing is, man, he's like, on the field, he's like the most just so instinctive. Like, he'll just see something, and I'm like, bro, I didn't see that at all. Like, I had I was the last thing I was thinking about. And then just as a person and just chopping it up with him, he was like, bro, man, I'm struggling. He's like, bro, chill. You good. And I'm like, you didn't really help me with my problem. He's like, bro, you're good. And I'm like, you're right. I'm good. Like, you have all these problems. And he like, hey, you're good. Like the other day I was like, I was having a little tweak in my foot. And I'm like, bro, I had to take like a week off of training, man. Like I might have to take like another week. He's like, hey, bro, don't even worry about it. You're good. By the time to train, you can train. And I'm like, all right. Yeah. And so he's
oddly, you know, zen.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. So he's super good at that. Just like chilling you out. You know, he taught me a lot on the field, especially when it comes to just relaxing. You know, the ball's in the air, I'm quick to just panic and just start. He's like, bro, why you be panicking? Stop panicking. And I'm like, oh, I don't know how else to do it. And like, he's just a chill guy, just gets you just,
no fear.
No fear. Oh, there's no fear at all. He don't care. That's a good trait to have as a football player. You can't be out there thinking about messing up.
The other thing is what you just said. He is so ride or die for his friends and like his teammates, yeah, man. He would fight anybody for you probably.
Yeah, he is. He's solid, man. When he first came, I didn't know much about him. I only knew about like he threw the flag in the stands. I think did he throw his shoe one time? I don't know. He did something. He was just interviews and stuff. That's all I knew of him as. And Eric Weddle told me you're gonna love him. And I was like, am I gonna love him? I was like, well, I love him. I was like, and now man, he's solid. He's solid. So I'm happy he's my teammate.
Damn, now that I think about it, you've been in the secondary. Jimmy Smith, long career, great one-on-one. Marcus Peters, Eric Weddle. You had some Earl Thomas. Like, so many different minds, and you guys spend so much time together in the DB room. Like, is this just stuff that you pick up from these guys that's, like, accidental? What is it like to be in a room with these guys?
Man, yeah, when I look back on it, Tony Jefferson's one, too.
Sure.
Gosh, it's crazy how all great players, but all so different by the way they go about things. You got the Eric Weddle. When it comes to knowing the play, he would tell me the play sometimes that the offense was going to run. And he was always right. Just a guy that just knew the game inside and out, studied like crazy. Then you got Marcus Peters, just Mr. Instinct. He just is crazy instinctive. And then Earl Thomas, super instinctive too, and just that dude don't care about nobody feelings. Like whoever it is, he's like, I'm here to work, I'm here to play. If you got feelings, move around. I don't care.
Just and like so super honest all the time.
Super honest, straight up tell you, like, bro, what are you doing? Stop doing that. Like,
and how great is that to have as a team? Like in the beginning, it's a little bit much, but after a while, you're like, honesty all the time is like honesty, such a virtue.
Yeah, it just makes things so much clearer. Like the sugarcoating in the NFL does not work well. When it's like not even sugarcoating, just like we might do that, we might not. Like if you know we're not gonna do it, then just we're not doing it. You know what I mean? Just so that's been great. And then Tony Jefferson, man, he was another guy that just played at full speed all the time, lights out, and great locker room teammate as well. Because I think that's the biggest thing. The more you can connect with your teammates, the better it is. And he really helped gel the team together, and it worked well.
So what happens when, you know, you're the young dude and you're getting all these nuggets, right, from all these, like, legendary guys, possible future Hall of Famers, and then now you kind of look around the locker room and you're like, damn, I'm that guy for some of the – like, it happens so quick. What's that transition like?
Man, it's another person that really helped me out, Brandon Carr. I remember being with him, and we were in like the sauna or hot tub or something. And he's like, he told me, even though he was starting, he was the starter, I was behind him. He's like, you're the guy, you're the one. And I'm like, I'm not the one. Like you're starting. He's just like, you're the one. You know, you're the one. You're next up. And he was just crazy. You know, being I was 20 when I came, when I first got in the league. And it's just, it was crazy to be around guys like that, that had so much belief in you, even though you weren't necessarily starting or anything like that. And just trusted in you. I think it helped me grow a lot to be ready for these times when I was, you know, the guy. And it's different, but you kind of just know when people are looking up to you, the good thing is if you're doing what you're always supposed to do, you got nothing to worry about.
It's never an issue. It's like being a dad, I would imagine. It's never an issue because you're always doing the right thing.
Yeah, if you're always trying to do the right thing and you do the right thing, it's never an issue. But, you know, you never just want to lead someone astray, that take them down the path and they see, oh, he's having success and this side he's talking to coaches in the wrong way. He's having success and this side he's practicing in the wrong way. You want guys to look at – you want guys to respect your game but respect how you approach it as well. I never wanted – for someone to younger to look at me and be like, man, is that how I'm supposed to do it? And I've seen that little bit here and there throughout my whole career. Someone very successful, but doing things the wrong way. And that's not somebody I've ever really, you know, looked up to. And I mean, I respect your game, but I would say you could change this. You know, I've always kind of been a stay in your lane, do what the coach asks, you know, never, you know, go back and forth the coach and things like that. You know, because at the end of the day, we're kind of at the bottom of the food chain. You know, you got the owners, GM, coaches, and then us. And for it to all really work together, everybody's got to do right, you know. But for the player, it's always best to just, you always win on the other side. It's no matter how the coach is talking to you, disrespectful, this, that, the other. If you just do right, all things will end up working for you.
You guys are, you know, you get that win over Tennessee in the playoffs, which had to feel sweet just because the battles that you guys had with that team were so intense. I'm just always curious that, like, Lamar is so discussed and he's so special, but I'm just curious what it's like to be on a team where everyone's like always talking about your quarterback, because Lamar is such a, you talk about unique, like, I don't know if we've ever seen anybody like Lamar.
Yeah. Lamar is maybe one of the most humble guys I've ever been around. That dude has not changed at all. You still will catch him Broward County at a gas station, chilling, throwing the trucks up. Like, he's like, bro, you're the MVP. Like, just imagine pulling up to a gas station, getting some gas, and Lamar Jackson's just been at pump number 6 for an hour, just chilling with the homies. Like, I saw him one time try to go to IHOP. Like, in Baltimore, Lamar Jackson is like, he's the hottest thing out. Like,
yeah.
I seen him one time going to IHOP. I'm like, you can't go to IHOP. You can't just go sit down at IHOP. Like, 5 minutes later, he's getting escorted out of IHOP because he probably had the cook come out, try to take a picture with him. Everybody got up from their breakfast and just tried to go. Like, people can't control themselves when they see him, but he's like so humble. He's like, nah, I'm just a normal guy. Like, why can't I go to IHOP? And anytime he comes to, like, we'll have a player, I have a team charity event, he'll show up, you know, just to support. And he knows that he's going to have at least spend 30 minutes to an hour taking a picture with everybody there. People completely forget the event and just start a line. And he takes a picture with everybody. He's just such a humble guy. And to be on a team with them to where, like, every time you turn on the TV, it's like, dang, it's like, I don't know why people love talking about him so much, like, in a bad way, you know what I mean? I understand the good, like, I feel like he's the most criticized quarterback in the league, like, almost. And I don't know what's up with that, but I don't think he pays it any attention. He's just always trying to get better and bring along all of us with him. And whatever he says, you know, a guy humble like that, whatever he says, we listen and we fall in line.
It is interesting. You know, I grew up a Sixers fan in the era of Allen Iverson. I mean, like, there's certain guys that are so dynamic. And when you talk about, like, staying loyal and being humble, like, it's that same vibe. But people want their cookie cutter champions. And Lamar's like one of those guys where, like, we've never seen anybody do what he does. Like, when he does what he did against Cleveland in that game, where he dropped like 40 something points and he's getting cramped up and then comes back, or even in the playoff game where, like, when he gets the edge, who the fuck knows what's about to happen? Like, we've never seen it before. Like, I remember when he was in training camp and there were stories coming out of Baltimore of, like, the defensive sidelines were losing their minds because of, like, he's making people's, like, ankles break and stuff. Like, we've just never seen it. It's incredible.
Yeah, Lamar. There's some clips on this field next to me here that hopefully never get released.
Of you trying to defend him?
Yeah, I tried to, I guess he never really broke my ankle because I don't even try. When I see him, I'm not even, it's practice. So I'm like, screw that. I'm not even about to, no. So,
Now break this down for me because you have tried, you're up there. You got Odell in your division. You've had AJ Green and John Ross and his speed and all those guys. What is it as a defender that if Lamar is out in space, that fear comes over? Like, what does he do that's so tough?
And the guys, the crazy thing about him is, like, you know, a lot of guys, you got power runners, you got guys that are fast, and they're going. That dude is, like, just, like, he's running, but he's not really, there's no, like, any of this or pumping. He's just, like, just moving. So one time we were in practice, he, like, came through a hole, and, like, I looked over at him, he looked over at me, and I was like, let me open up and practice, see how fast he is now. Took off, hit the gas, fast as I can go. The dude just took off on me, and I'm like, and I just pulled up, and everybody was like, because I'm pretty fast, and they were like, yo. And that's when, like, it was another one. It happens probably every 3 weeks that he does something, and everyone's like, yo, this dude is so different. And he got one of my teammates, I'm not going to mention any names, but he got one of my guys, his ankles was about at the 20-yard line. And it's crazy stuff, man. That guy is – he does it so effortless, and it's just crazy to watch. He's such a special player. I love being on the team with him. And I love seeing him prove the doubters wrong. He does a lot, so it's great to be on the team with him.
And I love hearing from you, like, that the humility is there. And that, you know, because, look, I don't think it's fair to expect people not to change when the world around them has changed so much. Because I think we celebrate that as a society, like, oh, he's the same from day one. Like, one, we're all supposed to grow, so I don't want everyone to stay the same. But when your virtues of who you are and the way that you treat people doesn't change, that's beautiful. And it's, you know, when we see him on the side, like giving $100 to somebody that doesn't even know who he is, or you see him, like, always being down with his teammates, that goes through the whole franchise. Because I experienced that at TNT. I asked somebody one time, why is everybody at TNT so nice to each other? And they said, because Charles Barkley is as nice to the janitor as he is to Shaq. And he treats everybody with respect. And when the one guy that really is allowed to not do that still does that, who are you? Who are you to talk shit or be big-headed when the MVP is out there at pump six, you know, kicking it? You know, it's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, it is. It's crazy. You know, everyone always talks about, like, no, they didn't change. They didn't change. It's actually, like, impossible to not change once you get, like, this guy went from, you know, Heisman. That's a big deal. But the MVP, NFL MVP, is, like, a whole nother level. You literally, when your world changes, you have to adapt with it, just the way you walk, and it's been crazy to see him just so almost just the same. And I think that's exactly how you said it, like Charles Barkley. When you got the quarterback not being, you know, the tip, you know, some quarterbacks are kind of divas. I mean, that's just
true.
And when you have the quarterback not doing that, it's like everyone's got to fall in line at that point. It's like you're not above him. That's just what it is. And NFL is about – that's what it's all about. You earn your stripes. And when you think you're going to just earn these stripes over this, that's not really how it flies. And so I think when you got the quarterback doing the things he does and walking the way he walks, talking the way he talks, everyone falls in line, and it makes a day of life just so much better. It's a lot of respect in this building, just with everybody, with the the cooks, the janitors, everybody. And I think Lamar last year tried to learn everybody's name, and that's a lot of people's names to learn. But just for him to names. Just for him to publicly say that and go out and really try to do it, man, it's just special. And it makes this place, as good as it is, ever since he's come, it's made it even more special.
It's dope. Man, we've been talking for about an hour. I do not want this to be the last time, because I know that you definitely have a future in this. Before we go, is there anything else that you want to get off your chest, or are you feeling good?
I'm feeling good. I appreciate the opportunity. I definitely love to do it again. It's been solid. It's been solid.
May have to be like an in-season correspondent or something like that.
Hey, let's do it. Yeah. In season, there'll be a lot to talk about, man. This season gets here. Gosh.
Yeah. Are you ready? Or are you like since the draft is over, there's going to be like some camps coming up, but like it's the beginning of the off season. So like, are you ready to get back to it? Or are you more like, let me enjoy some life in these months real quick?
Man, I'm ready to get back to it, but I've been enjoying life, but it seems like it's just been a while.
How ready are you to have fans back in the stands?
Yeah, that's the biggest thing, man. I'm just ready for some normalcy. We're still testing and everything, but.
Cause like I went to a Hawks game recently and I didn't realize how little energy is actually in those arenas. Like, and then I thought about the NFL season where like when I'm watching on TV, they're zooming in and they're not showing any of the, like that had to be fucking hard. Like
it just wasn't what you know, when you dream of playing in the NFL, the last thing you're really thinking about is like the fans, because you think that's automatic. You like assume that's automatic. But then when it's not there, you're like, this is kind of weird. Like, this is honestly kind of like, yeah. I mean, the craziest thing about it to me was like, the stadium's huge. You could literally have everybody 20 feet apart and like, you could put somebody in here. Like, it was, that aspect seemed weird to me, but I just hope we can get people back in. I don't even like watching the NBA games without the fans. I hate
it. It's really hard.
It just doesn't even look good to me. I don't know. It's different, but.
Dude, it was messing me up because they would have like somebody shooting a half court shot and like it was taped. Like it wasn't even happening. Or like you're looking at the dance team and then I look down the court and they're not there. And so for me, you know, talking to as many athletes as I have in my life, they always say the thing that you miss when it's over is running out there and there's like 60,000 people and that rush of energy, you'll never get that again. And you guys got a taste of what it's like for that not to be there. And so if that, it's not about the touchdowns or the interceptions, it's about that wave of humanity that's going nuts because you did something. That I can't wait for you guys to get it back, because it's going to change the way that you guys play. The energy in those first few games when it's packed again, dude, it's going to be like coursing through your veins. It's going to be amazing.
Yeah. It's
I mean, you played at Alabama. Like, you experienced it like at the peak too.
Yeah. I think for NBA, it's probably even tougher though, because their runs are based off like the energy coming with the fans. Football, it was just different, but I think it was much harder on the offensive guys than the defensive guys. And you kind of just – but offense, I mean, the worst feeling is when a team is just 5 yards, 3 yards, 7 yards, and they're just – the fans are getting – you're like, crap, we cannot stop them. The fans starts getting in there. It's like it messes – it really gets the offense going. But for defense, you're like, no noise. You're like
– you're hearing the plays from Big Ben.
Yeah, you hear those Big Ben. So it's different, but I'm just ready for it all back, man. It's just – it's definitely not how the way anybody pictures it's about to go down, and it's been weird for sure.
Well, I followed Marlon Humphrey on Instagram, Marlon_Humphrey. Yeah, check it out. I made sure that I did it. You guys should too. Check it out. Anything else coming up that you want people to know about other than just your social media?
Nah, that's it, man. That's it.
Okay. It's good fucking talking to you, bro.
Nice. All right, man. I appreciate it.
All right, brother. Have a good one. Everybody, Marlon motherfucking Humphrey. You're the man, dude. And that was Marlon Humphrey, star all-pro cornerback of the Baltimore Ravens, 24 years old, but a vet in the game. and hit him up, give him a follow. Very cool insight there on kind of the process that he's gone through, being a teammate with Lamar, and truly wanting to be great. I do not say this lightly. I've met a lot of NFL players that like being an NFL player, but I haven't met all of them that are trying to be great. And it's cool when you get to talk to one that is. So I will holla, holla, holla at you later. Be well, and we'll talk to you soon. Peace. Pew.